Hey guys, this is Chris.
And this is Dustin, and we're with Sanctus Real.
And we'd like to welcome you to the podcast with our friends, Ted and Jared. We were fortunate enough to spend some time on the front lines with Ted in Nicaragua.
And we know you'll be blessed by what these guys have to say. So welcome to Flawed Clay.
Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
Welcome to episode 4 of Flawed Clay. I'm Jared Easley, and joining us as always, my friend, your friend, Ted Rogers.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Ted. Always a pleasure. And tonight our scripture is Romans 5:13. I say tonight because we're recording in the evening, but the scripture for this episode, Romans 5:13. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. And Ted, you said, hey, let's do an episode about law and grace. And so I'm curious to hear, what are your thoughts on law and grace, and why is that something that was on your heart to talk about in this episode?
Well, it's been on my heart recently, and I've had some good conversations about it with some buddies, and a good pastor buddy of mine, Johnny Harrison, came down a couple weeks ago. And I think I mentioned that they'd came down from Reach Church, and we really talked about this and just how in general in the world that personally we all live by law or grace. And then you look at Jesus, and I think he had the perfect combination, where I think us as individuals, we live on one side or the other. And if we look Jesus at his perfection, we see, yes, that the law was important, but yes, the grace was abundant. And so I just wanted to process that this evening. And, you know, it also made me think of, I believe it was our last episode, we talked about friends and just being thankful for those that the church that comes along and serves down here. And I got a buddy from, I think, your home church, Church by the Glades, and his name's Adrian. He's coming down just to hang out with me and my family and to help us out how he can. And then I was reading the news. You know, we don't have television at our house, so I don't get a chance to catch up on any news or anything. So usually for about 30 minutes before I go to bed each night, I check out world news and U.S. news. And I was reading, I think it was just within the last couple of days, that not too long ago, the vice president came to Church by the Glades. And I was thinking, wow, this is a law and grace situation. And then I had heard like about all the Facebook comments, and, you know, either people were totally for it or they were totally against it. And so I think about, you know, well, this is the law. You can't do this. And then other people having grace, and some, usually we end up on one side, but I want to talk about, what does it look like when we end up in the middle, you know? And you also look at Mark, and this is the grace side of it, right? So we have like the Ten Commandments and all these things, and they were just set up basically in a way to show us like how we fail and how we need Jesus, so we can keep coming back and repenting and him sanctify us. But you look at Mark 2:15, and it says, "And as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him." And I just love that picture of Jesus reclining with tax collectors and sinners. And so many times these days, we want to shove people, Christians want to shove people out of our lives that don't fit into our law. Now, we're not going to go into big conversations like that happen with gay and lesbian and Republican or Democrat and all these things. But what would it look like if we applied just as much grace to our life as we apply law, or apply just as much law to our life as there is grace?
Ted, I'd love to hear some examples of where this is applied to you and you had to make some decisions.
Oh my goodness. You know, first is probably when I first got here, when we first moved to Nicaragua, there are a lot of laws here, and they're just man-made laws. I mean, there's churches here that, and they're the same in the States, but I think it's just more prevalent here. If the pastor doesn't have long sleeve shirts on, they don't feel he's a pastor. If you're not dressed a certain way, you're not a Christian. If you have tattoos, or if you do that, or if you do this, and there's just so many layers of these laws. Now, the sad thing is that they become Christian laws. They're not even biblical laws. They're just man-made laws. And I realized quickly that I'm a duck out of water because I'm a broken guy. I mean, I love Jesus, but you know, I'm in Nicaragua. Why am I going to wear a long sleeve shirt? You know, I just realized fast, nobody's going to accept me as a Christian, you know, but, and this is just like a small example, but there's just law after law after law. And what I see here is that when it comes to Christianity or being a Christian, there's no grace. There's absolutely no grace. And how do you walk in that? It brings so much pride within the church. And so it's just been such a struggle for me. But then I see that, right? And then I have to look into my own heart and see where I'm becoming the judge and where my laws are. And that's been awesome. God has really done a work in me because in many ways, I had my own laws. They might not have been the same laws as I experienced here, but God has been softening my heart to things. And it's just been, it's been a journey. It's been a journey.
Ted, I always appreciate it when you're willing to share something specific and maybe a story. And I'm hoping you'll be willing to do that now of maybe something personal where you've realized, hey, this is something I've got to adjust. What's something that comes to mind that you can open up and share with the group?
Well, I think it's forgiveness, my friend. I think it's forgiveness. You know, we face a lot of cultural things that are just out of our culture. And I can get a little upset about those things. And I've had to learn how to forgive like I had never known before. And so I'm just working on forgiveness constantly. You know, it's been hard to give up everything and come down and then feel like you're getting beaten up. And, you know, you just, as a Christian and out on mission and out of your context, you have to rely on the word of God. And so I read a scripture like Matthew 18:22, where Jesus says, I don't say to you 7 times, but 77 times about like forgiveness. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, like I can't, how do I even achieve that? You know, and really we can't. That's why we need the Lord to do that work in us. And so I would say definitely forgiveness has been on the top of my list of what the Lord's been teaching me since we've been here.
1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, you know, love. And one of the verses in there, I believe it's verse 5, it talks about how love keeps no record of wrongs. And I'm more curious about when the moments come up where you're having to battle with that struggle of forgiveness, how specifically about keeping no records of wrong. Is that something that you've had any challenges with? And maybe talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's tough, right? Because here again, you know, we have the law, you know, you did me wrong. And now this is, I think it's just like with my child, you know, and I'm going to tie this back into grace and law. Like I'm going to have grace with my son. He's 8 years old. You know, I'm going to have grace with him, but I'm not going to have grace with him on the same issue every time. You know, we have rules, we have laws in my home, and there's going to be grace in those rules or in those laws. But if you keep doing the same thing, then things are going to change. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to forgive you. It just means maybe I'm not going to give you as much leash as you had before, or things are going to look a little bit differently. And so I just think that you got to apply the grace and the forgiveness. The forgiveness always has to be there. And I know that's hard. There's things that I can't go to sleep at night to still today that where I'm holding on to something. And I just continue to seek the Lord to do that because I don't have the strength to do it myself. And, you know, some family relationships that I've let gone awry or I haven't worked hard enough for. That's a great example right there. You know, I have some family that dearly loves me that I just can't seem to get over some humps with some things that have happened in the past. So, man, I'll tell you, I'm not the guy to teach about forgiveness. As much as I loved, how much as the Lord has grown me in that is wonderful, and I'm so thankful for it, but I still have such a long way to go.
Ted, you and your wife and your son recently came back to the United States, and you were here for a while. And I was curious what that was like for you after being, you know, away for so long and the experiences and the work that God's been doing in your hearts and in your lives. And then to see others who they're just not on that same level or maybe haven't had those same experiences. Is it real easy to just kind of dismiss some of those folks or what was that like for you coming back and experiencing that?
Yeah, it's really tough. It's tough to come back to the States. Like I said, everything is at your fingertips there. In many ways, it's a much easier life. In other ways, it's more difficult because you're having to, there's a lot of distractions that comes with wealth and opportunity. And so on some levels, I was like, oh goodness, I'm so thankful that we don't live here. On other levels, I was like, man, I cannot wait to get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, you know? So, you know, there's that part of me that got a little bit jealous there for a while, but you know, Nicaragua has become our home and it was hard to be away from home and the kids and the ministry during Christmas. Like I was like, we're sitting at my in-laws' Christmas tree in this beautiful house and this tree and all these presents are around. And I'm thinking, Lord, is this what it's come down to? You know, and it's great. I loved being with them and I love the fact that they get to celebrate that way. But it also hurt me that I couldn't be with our kids down here. And, you know, the other part is tough to live out of a bag, no matter what you do. And sure. So we're traveling from house to house and relative to this place. And I think we were in 6 different states and it was cold. I don't like cold anymore. So no, it was wonderful. I mean, we had a wonderful time with friends and family, but you know, I was also get saddened, you know, as we drive through the wealthy suburbs of St. Louis and there's these massive houses with, you know, usually 1 to 3 people living in them and, you know, all the expensive things and everybody has the newest this and that. And not that we shouldn't have those things, but it's just hard to go from a context of massive, you know, a mass amount of poverty to all the shiny stuff. It's just tough every time. And the beautiful thing is that I know several of those people that live in the big houses and have this. And I know they have such a heart for Jesus. And I know that they contribute so much to ministry, into our family, into our family's life. And so I don't want to sit here and categorize people in a certain way because they live a certain way. The sad thing is I know that there's a lot of people that live like that, that don't know the Lord. And that's the saddest part for me. I could really care less about the resources. The fact that they're just drowning in a false reality that those things are going to bring them joy when Christ is right there that will bring joy like they've never experienced before. So I spent a lot of time a little upset, but also going into prayer, like, I just hope that person knows Jesus or gets to know Jesus.
Ted, we haven't asked this question yet, but we're now in episode 4, and the people that have listened up to this point, I'm sure they're wondering, what's the best way that they can pray for you and your family and the ministry?
Yeah, We love prayer, and we truly believe in so many instances as we've reached out for prayer that God has used those prayers. And so please, if you're listening, pray for us. We desperately need prayer. Email us if you need prayer. We love to pray for people. We teach our son to pray for people. So give us some more prayer homework to do. We would absolutely love that, but please pray for us. That's our big thing. We're constantly going through different challenges. A current prayer is we are filing for our residency. You have to refile every year as a missionary, and it's a process, and there's always that little bit of fear that sets in, say, what if they don't? We need to figure out how to leave country fast. And so that's a current prayer. And then always for our son, I can't imagine, you know, he thrives. He's completely fluent and does really well, but just prayer and protection over his childhood that he won't look back on this day and or this time and be upset or hurt or think we put him through something that was anything for us, that he would know was all for the Lord and that he could rest, you know, at peace with that. And that's our two biggest prayers right now. Our ministry, please pray for our kids. We have right around 25 kids right now that are living residentially with the ministry. And then we're close to 50 kids on our outreach ministry, and pray for resources on that. That part of the ministry has been continuing to grow, but the resources haven't. So if you could just keep that in prayer, that God would call people to support that. I mean, it's a really big deal. We're breaking generations of poverty and families that aren't hearing or living out the gospel are able to see that through our ministry. And so that would be wonderful if you all could join us like that.
Ted, if someone's feeling compelled to support in that way, what could they do to take that first step?
Yeah, it's really easy. You just go to the website, www.armsoflove.org. And there, it's real clear. It will walk you through, but there's a donate now button, and you can even designate that to, you know, the residential ministry, the outreach ministry. There's even a box that, like, if you wanted it to support something in one of the specific houses, we have three houses, two with boys, one with girls. So if you love girls and orphan girls, and you just say, hey, I want to bless this house of girls, you could designate it straight to that house. And so you can be a little more specific if you want in the way that you give. We are not too picky on the way that people send support.
Well, Ted, we're going to wrap this episode up. I really appreciate it. But we always like to close out with final thoughts.
The final thoughts comes out of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So that's Amen. My final thoughts. Hold fast to the word of the Lord, and life will be much more pleasant.
Ted, always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to our next episode.
Jared, thanks so much for everything. I appreciate you, brother. God bless you.
Heals the brokenhearted, sets the captives free, and walks an extra mile even for your enemies. This is love.